To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Good Lord. A lot going on there in the intro. 5 o'clock fire.
It's hot.
Yeah, man. Lord Jesus, there's a fire.
All right. We talked already about the Rockets playing their second to final preseason game tonight against the Pelicans. Regular season starts 1 week from tonight. There is that. Meanwhile, baseball resumes this evening. The Dodgers, who lead the Brewers 1-0 in the NLCS. Game two tonight, first pitch, 7:08. You got Yoshinobu Yamamoto on the mound for the Dodgers, B. Scott, against the Brewers' Freddy Peralta. Are you anticipating Dodgers making pretty easy work of the Brewers? Yamamoto's been like next to unhittable here recently. I say recently. It feels like a better part of 2 months, but... Do you think there's some fight left in the Brewers?
I do, because the Brewers are like, it's a boring story for a lot of people unless you're really, really into baseball. Like, the Brewers don't do a lot for you, but they're one of those small ball teams, next man up. Even last night before the Dodgers actually get it done, mm-hmm. there's a walk to load the bases from one of their better runners in scoring, and they had runners in scoring position.
Yeah, who was that knucklehead that did not get hit by the pitch in the ninth inning there?
Yeah, that thing was smoking coming toward his kneecap.
It would have smoked him.
Man, that thing could have took his kneecap off, man. So I'm with you, and I'm not with you at the same time, and I'm with him at the same time.
I'm 100%, 110% with that guy.
And didn't he end up drawing the walk anyway, I think? Somebody did. They ended up loading the bases.
It was with bases loaded.
That's right.
He ended up striking out a freaking heater like 3 feet of the zone.
That's right.
On the next pitch. It was wild.
But the opportunities were there for the Brewers. They throw the ball to their pitching staff to switch it over. They throw it as hard as anybody you've ever seen, just as a unit, as a staff. So they've got the arms. They've got kind of just the overall, like, they're a great story. You know, I think that they've still got some. I would not rule them out just yet. Yep. And that's aside from me rooting against the Dodgers, I would not rule out the Brewers making a go of this thing.
Win it for Bob. Win it for Bob Uecker, man. Let's go. That's who I'll be rooting for tonight, is the Brewers. ALCS off tonight. The series shifts to Seattle tomorrow for game three after the M's took care of biz on the road in Toronto to take a 2-0 series lead. They won 3-1 and 10-3 last night. Put a good old-fashioned butt-whooping on the Blue Jays. Shane Bieber will be throwing for the Blue Jays tomorrow opposite George Kirby for the Mariners. So looking forward to that one. NFL news. The Ravens. Boy, how about this, man? Did this guy even make it a week? C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Did he even make it a week in Baltimore?
Man, hardly knew him.
I mean, not even on the active roster. He was only on their practice squad, but already released today by the Ravens. According to his agent, Kevin Connor, who told Adam Schefter that the two sides, Ravens and C.J. Gardner-Johnson, reached a, quote, amicable mutual decision. and added that C.J. Gardner-Johnson was, quote, looking for a clearer path to play. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who was traded for Kenyon Green by the Texans earlier this offseason, lasted just 3 weeks into the regular season with the Texans. Not even made, didn't even make it to the bye week before being cut loose here. And then now, didn't even make it a week in Baltimore. He did issue a statement via Twitter. Have you read his statement?
I have not read his statement. I can only imagine.
All right. Dramatic reading from C.J. Gardner-Johnson in his statement via Twitter today. I just want to take a moment to thank all of the teams I've been a part of, coaches, teammates, and everyone who supported me along the way. Every experience has helped me grow both on and off the field. I'm truly grateful for all the opportunities and memories. Football has always been a big part of who I am, and my passion for the game is still strong. I'm excited to keep working, improving, and continuing to play the sport I love.
Yo, that sounded like a retirement speech.
For real, felt that, dude.
Yo.
Oh, my goodness.
No, he was such a poet.
R.I.P. to bro's career?
Yeah, I really wanted to... No, he's not retiring. I know. He might as well. He keeps screwing this thing up.
Dude said to all of the teams... Like to everybody that was down with me, it's been a fun ride.
Who's squandered a bigger opportunity? Deontay Johnson, also a former Raven and Texan, or C.J. Gardner-Johnson?
Oh, I think it's C.J. Gardner-Johnson because C.J. Gardner-Johnson at least has the cachet of being on a Super Bowl winner, and he brought that here.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to parlay that into having a key role on one of the better defenses in the league, and then got an opportunity to get on the practice squad for a defense that's littered with injuries where guys is dropping like flies and supposedly looking for a more clear path to play. Get your ass up out of here. Like, maybe Lord. He released that statement that you read so eloquently and dramatically to show or to at least indicate that he's not as delusional as it appears that he is. Feel bad for dude a little bit, man. Because, like, you ever meet somebody that just doesn't know, doesn't have a great sense of reality, or they don't know the difference between a good idea and a bad idea, and they just lack, they have poor judgment.
Oh, Ed Gein, yeah.
He seems like one of those guys.
Did you just say Ted Gein?
Texas, I'm sorry, I couldn't help it.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, dude.
Hey, yeah. It all blended to him.
Ed Gein.
Yeah. That's what I said.
I thought you said Ted.
No, Ed.
I was like, what did Ted Ginn Jr. do to get on this list?
Ted Ginn Jr.
No, Ed Ginn, the guy that was eating
folks. I got you.
Oh, Lord Almighty.
I got the reference.
More likely to happen. C.J. Gardner-Johnson crafted the statement, AI crafted the statement, or his agent Kevin Connor crafted the statement that
His agent Kevin Connor used AI to craft the statement.
All right, there you go.
I think that is exactly what happened.
Connors and AI do not mix, my friend.
Well done. All right, basketball news. There's a couple tidbits here. Shout out to Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah, man.
Hey, man, long time coming. Well deserved. The Miami Heat coach Eric Spoelstra has been named head coach for Team USA in the upcoming 2028 Los Angeles Summer Olympics. How about that? B. Scott, it's been a long line already. It tells you how fast time's gone. You got Coach K, who was Team USA coach for, two or three different Olympics, I feel like.
At least two. I think maybe three.
Greg Popovich and Steve Kerr. Yep. They've all three led at various points Team USA dating back to 2008. Now you can add Eric Spoelstra to the list. Pretty elite company.
I would say long overdue. Nothing even against Steve Kerr. I know we got the Rockets-Warriors rivalry and all of that. No love lost for Steve Kerr. But this is just being frank about it. Eric Spoelstra should have gotten that job before Steve Kerr ever got that job. I understand Steve Kerr's got the four championships to Spoelstra's three, and the math on that makes him the more accomplished coach. But Spoelstra, widely considered the best coach in the NBA, probably for a while now. I mentioned that NBA GM survey from last week.
Yeah.
I think he won that by a mile in terms of voted by GMs from across the league as the best coach in the NBA. So this is one that I feel like is a long time coming and possibly one that's long overdue for Eric Spoelstra.
Was it in that same ESPN article or whatever that I saw Ime Udoka was like a top five coach in the NBA? Was Spoelstra like the far and away number one?
So I don't know what ESPN did. This was the NBA GM survey. So I just got this off of NBA.com. And the way that Ime Udoka fell along those lines in the GM survey was one of the best motivators. I think he was like second for best motivators. He was in the top for defensive scheme.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
he definitely received votes for in-game adjustments, but did not make the list for best coach in the league because that list was reserved for all guys who had won championships.
Well,
so it was Eric Spoelstra. It was Steve Kerr. Nick Nurse had somehow made the list, and he's one that's won a championship.
That's why.
Somebody else that's won a championship. Ty Lue was on there. It was all guys that have actually won titles that made that list.
Ime, best coach in the league without a championship.
Ooh. Now, that I wish they had asked that question because I think he definitely has a case for that.
Yeah. And at least top three. At least top three. Yeah. I mean, off the top of my head, trying to think of – and guys that have a ring as a head coach – You know,
he's got to be up there.
But in terms of like,
especially now that the Thunder coach has one, right? He probably would have been that guy before this year, and now he has one. So
yeah,
I don't know why Ime wouldn't be somewhere toward the top of that list.
Guys move around so much, man. It's hard for me to like, you know, think off the top of my head. I was trying to like eliminate guys as a head coach, I'm going through it. You know,
I'm going through it in my head.
Ime's got to be top three.
He's up there
in terms of best coaches without a ring yet. Yet Kevin Durant hopes to
stay tuned.
Do something about
stay
that.
Stay tuned. Starts in a week.
Speaking of head coaches in the NBA, the Mavericks have signed Jason Kidd to a multi-year contract extension per Mark Stein. Stein says a new contract for Kidd has been expected since the Knicks failed to bring him in and hire him away. I guess after the season had kind of come and gone. I remember that whole fiasco vaguely. But
he's that dude is a flirt, man. Talking about Jason Kidd?
Yeah.
Jason Kidd always flirting with somebody, man. Remember he started off with the Bucks or was it the Nets? And then he goes over to the other, whichever one was first. He leaves them for the other one. He's always flirting with somebody, man. Now, I would understand.
Can you blame him in this instance?
In this instance, yeah. Now, I mean, he's got. They made things right because they lucked up, got the number one overall pick, Cooper Flagg's in the building, and now all is well. But he's always got his eye on the next prize.
The odd thing was, it's like, okay, dumpster fire, as it had appeared to be at the time, the Dallas Mavericks, right? Making one of the more preposterous trades you've ever seen in sports and dealing Luka. You're going to turn your attention to the Knicks?
Well,
I mean...
At least they have...
You know, that's like flirting with the real... Like, your buddies are telling you, like, that chick is ugly as hell, bro. It's like 2 a.m., it's dark as hell, and you are three sheets to the wind. I'm like, bro, like, you got to come home now. And he's like, no.
The guy is drunk.
What about that chick over there? And it's not like, oh, yeah. Yeah, go ahead. No, she's ugly, too. Like, you just stay the hell away. It's time to go home, Jason.
To their credit... The Knicks do have a nice roster, and Tom Thibodeau did a good enough job there, and he's one of those guys where it seems like you have a ceiling with Tom Thibodeau. He can get your program right,
yeah.
But how far can he take you? I could see Jason Kidd looking at the Knicks situation as one where Tom Thibodeau has already done all of the dirty work of kind of getting them in the right direction, and now all he has to do is come in and clean up the mess. I could have seen that happening. Yeah, I definitely could have seen that. Now, I'm with you. The Knicks, dumpster fire of an organization. But, I mean, if they paying, if he feels, like, scorned because of the Luka thing, I could understand that. I could certainly understand that. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't leave Cooper Flagg, though, for that situation.
No, I'd
want to see the Cooper Flagg thing through.
I could manufacture something in my head to stay at home in Dallas and base it around like Cooper Flagg and what I could do with this guy versus like going to New York and dealing with that. Like New York.
But you know how it is for basketball people, man. The Knicks, Madison Square Garden, that whole scene has its own cachet.
That's fair.
It has its own. It's not It's not playing for the, it's not the Jets. Mm-hmm. And even the Giants who have won Super Bowls. The Knicks have a cachet there, man.
Yeah, they
there's
do.
There's a there there.
They do. They do. I'll throw this last little bit in 5 o'clock fire. I just stumbled upon this via Twitter. You know, there were a number of firings in baseball. A lot of teams going to be looking for new skippers still this offseason. And the Colorado Rockies, one of them, also looking for a new general manager. I don't know what James Click, the former Astros general manager, was doing in the year of our Lord 2025, if he was working for a Major League Baseball team, but possibility he could be the new Colorado Rockies general manager. Reports are out there that he spoke with ownership in Colorado to be their next GM.
Good for James Click. Good dude. Pretty decent GM. What do you feel like are the odds that, let's say 2 years from now, because, I mean, I think it's hard for just 1 year for a GM to really make their imprint in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the odds are 2-3 years down the road that there is some seller's remorse when we talk about all of these players that have left the Astros? Because that's the marquee, right? Every year it seems like a great player departs, whether it's in free agency or trade or whatever the case may be. So we've got the long list. We know who all the players are.
Mm-hmm.
What are the odds that James Click somewhere finds his way somewhere on that list of seller's remorse, a guy that the organization let go and shouldn't have? Because we know Dana Brown's coming back. We know Joe Espada's coming back. But I do feel like it's still a question on what you have at GM, which to me poses the follow-up question of why'd you let go of the guy that helped you win a World Series to begin with.
It boils down to what does Dana Brown do this offseason, right?
I mean,
this
is
it's a pivotal offseason for Dana Brown and the Houston Astros. I mean,
rooting for Dana Brown, to be clear.
To think, though, that the Astros did as well as they did this season after an offseason of letting Alex Bregman walk, trading Kyle Tucker, and you being in the thick of things despite being hit again with, you know, all of the injuries and underperformance at various positions throughout the course of the season, and the bullpen just absolutely turning its back on you after it had, you know, kind of looked like, boy, this thing's going to be awesome. And now, granted, that was killed by injuries as well, too, so I shouldn't really point to too much underperformance there, but to accomplish what they did with what little they had, he's got to go buy some pitching or make move for some pitching. And it's probably going to cost you some current major league players. This is a huge offseason for Dana Brown. He could make you completely forget about James Click this year and beyond, or he could make you long for the days of James Click, I think.
And for all the reasons that you just laid out, it's why I'm not so much down on Dana Brown as much as I am still in wait-and-see mode. And if it turns out that it's not what you need or he's not the guy, then you look back on letting go of Click, going however months that was without a general manager, and then hiring a guy that eventually you find out is not the right general manager. It just makes you look at that whole process, and now we're a couple of years past it and question all of it. Now, again, I'm rooting for Dana Brown, and I'm not convinced or sold one way or another. I know we're supposed to have strong opinions on the radio, but I'm not strongly sold one way or another that he is or is not the guy. But for all the reasons that you just laid out, it is a huge year for Dana Brown.
Yeah, strong opinions. I'll retract something I just said. I don't think you'll ever long for James Click. I mean, long for what? Who was making the decisions here? I mean, the end of days for him was because, you know, Jim Crane wanted somebody that was going to stand on a potato on a table and you know, make the tough calls, make some brash decisions, right? And that's something that apparently James Click was not comfortable doing or able to do.
Well,
you know,
he
with
was
Jim Crane's leering. I
think he was a little bit more measured and concerned. Like Jim Crane is, you know, got this alpha. Let's go get it. And James Click was a little bit more measured. And so they just had a difference of styles, I think, was really, which is why that wasn't going to work.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'll be longing for that. Table, Tyler. I didn't say potato.
I swear you said potato. I was like, this man's standing on spuds.
Hey,
right?
Hey, man, you stand on a potato, man. That's
on
a perfectly good potato, man. Bake that thing and eat it. Load it and eat it.
Oh, Lord Almighty. Coming up next, how do we feel about the road ahead for the Texans? The path, wild card or division? Where are you feeling the most confidence? We'll discuss now.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
That doesn't creep into my mind at all about where the other AFC teams are, what their record is. It's still early in the season, right? A lot of teams had a lot of, you know, really good starts to the season, but we all know, and that's our focus, it's all about how you finish the season. It's all about how your team grows throughout the season. Just because you have a great start doesn't mean it's going to be a great finish. It's just continuing to work, control what you can control, and you truly focus on one game at a time. That's all that matters. Can't focus on what the other teams are doing, the outcome of their games. It really doesn't matter, right? It has nothing to do with how you go and play, how you go and prepare. You don't do anything different because other teams are where they are record-wise. It's truly focusing on us and getting better.
D'Amico Ryans from earlier today is availability with the media, talking about how he's not concerned where other teams are, how they've started record-wise, the whole bit. He didn't have to admit, you know, concerned for that type of stuff, but
it's my decision.
It is. And you, sir, lead how you choose to lead. You swarm the hell out of that stuff, okay? But I'm just going to tell you right
now. The hell out of that
swarm
stuff.
Swarm the hell out of it.
I'm just going to tell you right now. This is what we talk about. This is what we talk about. As sports fans, we know, mathematically speaking, what an 0-3 start means to your fate. I don't know, 88% of the time. Means your ass ain't making the playoffs, sir. Unless some anomalous, you know, thing. Is that the right word?
Yeah, you got it.
Anomalous?
You said it.
I said that right?
Yeah, I said it so well that I'm not going to even try to repeat it. I know what it means.
I don't feel comfortable, but I'm going to roll right up past it.
It's a little bit of a tongue twister, but you mean something that would be an anomaly. Right.
Very good.
I can't say it. So I'm so glad that you actually said it, but I know what it means.
Weird bleep needs to happen if you make the playoffs.
Anomalies.
Because the Colts, they suck. But you know, in a good way, in a bad way for the Texans. They're 5-1, man. What a pain in the ass organization that is right now.
We don't like that.
No. I mean, you know, any owner that is down on the sidelines wearing a headset, you know, with a notepad and a pen. They ain't supposed to be overseeing a 5-1 squad. They're supposed to be overseeing an absolute dumpster fire. So I don't know what the hell's going on there right now, but the Colts are not going to make things easy on the Texans, B. Scott. Oh, and you got that dude doing his things that he's...
That's his version of swarming the hell.
Swarm the hell out of that
swarm
thing, man.
Naying the hell out of him.
So, check it out, man.
Hey, you got to make that a drop, man. Make sure you isolate that one over. The swarm the hell out of that thing. We're going that will be making another appearance on the drive at some point in life.
Yeah, Ooh. Somewhere. I'm sure it will. Tell me how you feel about the Texans' path, though. I asked Clint yesterday, are you more confident in them being a wild card team coming out of the AFC South or them winning the division? Mind you, I thought it was a legitimate question because you still have two head-to-heads remaining, you know, against the Colts, and in one head-to-head against the Jags, two teams that you're looking up at right now. And he said wild card, like without a shadow of a doubt, wild card.
Yeah, more confident, if that's the question, then wild card would have to be the answer. Like, I'm still hoping for the division, and I still think that that's well within reach. I think that should still be their goal and aspiration, like what they're shooting for should be to win the division. But if we're just going to answer that based off of where we are right now, the AFC South looks like one of the tougher divisions in football, if not the best in the AFC. And it looks like they could get at least two teams into the playoffs. And so, yeah, as wild as it sounds and as wild as it seems to say, like you have a better chance of becoming what the Jags are right now. That being as opposed to, like, let's say sweeping the division, including those two games against the, you know, sweeping what's left of the division. Obviously,
sure,
they've already lost a game to the Jaguars, but sweeping what's left of your division.
Say
schedule,
anomalous.
No, I can't.
I don't even think I said it.
I can't even say sweeping. Apparently,
you guys are killing it, man.
Man, they're definitely going to bring us back.
We have murdered the English language.
I mean, B. Scott,
sweeping the division and what's left of the division schedule, like, what are the odds of that? Now, you can play well enough to catch the Jags, it seems like, but as much as I want them to win the division, that seems far less likely now, given how, well, first of all, they're behind Indianapolis, and Indianapolis is playing really good football.
Yeah,
that seems far less likely than, let's say, catching the Jags and staving off the rest of the mediocre AFC.
I looked at it from a couple different perspectives, and at least as things stand right now, the Texans' path to a wild card versus their path to division champions, you're still going to have to kind of hopscotch two teams to do that. You got to hop over two teams to get that third and final wild card spot, or you got to hop over two teams to win your division. I'd rather try, like, I feel more confident in doing that via the division. If I believe in the Texans, based on what we've seen the last two games that they've played, maybe they're figuring things out. I already know that they have an elite defense. I can see that with my eyes. I am much more confident in being able to, you know, beat the Colts in a head-to-head because I know that's what's in front of me. Whereas today, right now, I know the Broncos are in front of me. I know the Jags are in front of me. I know the Bills are in front of me. And I know the Kansas City Chiefs are in front of me. That's how I'm looking at it, is find the Texans. And a number of other things can happen between now and, you know, week 18, 19. That Last game against the Colts, it's probably going to mean something, man. And I think you had that game circled on your calendar before the season even started, because that's just kind of the way things have gone for you the last couple of years. It's going to come down to the last weekend of the season. Because of the hole you dug yourself, if you're the Houston Texans, a division crown, like, that should be the goal, sure. But I also think it's like the path of least resistance, because there's some element of you being able to still control your own destiny in that those two head-to-heads with the Colts and one more left with the Jags. And, oh, by the way, just talking about the Colts, there's a 8-week stretch that the Texans are entering into starting Monday night when they take on the Seahawks. And I picked 8 weeks because at the end of 8 weeks, you'll have played the Kansas City Chiefs. Who knows what the hell that team looks like at that point in time, but that's a huge game for you, because you've got 6 of those 8 games in the next 8 weeks against right now would-be playoff teams.
Obviously, we're going to see how the season plays out, but I think the question that you got to answer first before we can even get to this one, or what it seems like our answer to this question is based on, is how good are the Colts? What are the Colts exactly? Are they legitimate as they have appeared to be so far, or are they like what the texter here, the 713, is saying? The Colts are frauds. Look at their wins. We still play them twice. If you believe the Colts are frauds, then I absolutely feel like you should be focused on the division. If the Colts worry you a little bit like they do me, then, and you think that the AFC South is much better than people were giving it credit for, and if it is, in fact, the best team in the AFC, then I'm not so sure that it is the path of least resistance, as you said earlier.
In response to that texter, though, the Colts are frauds.
I don't agree with that.
If you don't believe in the Colts, I would ask you, sir, how do you believe in the Texans? If you don't believe in what you've seen from the Colts right now, like, oh, they haven't beaten any good teams. Well, you know what? Neither have the Texans. They haven't beat good teams. They beat a team who just fired their head coach. They beat a team who is like 7th on the next coach to be fired, though that's stupid with John Harbaugh being on that list, in my opinion anyway. But you beat a Ravens team that, yeah, they probably stink anyway right now, even with Lamar Jackson defensively, because they're giving up 35 points per game. So I don't know. I think that would be a legitimate question that you need to think about, too. If you don't believe in the Colts, how much could you actually believe in the Texans at this point in time? Monday night, I think, will answer some of those questions for Houston Texan fans. We can continue to talk about it. We got one more segment left. We also got T-Mill's best bets. He's been on one. We'll see what he's got in store tonight for us. I have to imagine it's probably going to be some really bad college football or baseball related completely. We'll find out.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin, but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
Now, Kathy Bates, that's a bad bitch right there.
I don't know how long.
Live from the Mokarum Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right. Welcome back to The Drive. Sean Bajani, B. Scott, T. Mill in for the fellers. Reminder, coming up at the top of the hour, Texans All Access. They'll be live from 6 until 8 here on Sports Radio 610 with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris. And right off the top, man, they're going to be sitting down with Texans head coach DeMeco Ryans. So do not miss that sit-down convo leading into, biggest game of the season. That's just the next one for the Texans. Monday night are coming up against the Seattle Seahawks. And then later on this evening, no Area 45 tonight, not just because I'm here and I won't be there, but because we've got a soccer match that we're broadcasting for you. Soccer coverage will begin right on the heels of Texans All Access at 8 o'clock. U.S. men's squad will take on Australia in a friendly. You'll be able to listen to that here on Sports Radio 610, whatever a friendly.
It sounded great to me. I don't know.
You got to sell it, but I'm not going to lie to you. I have no freaking clue what a damn friendly is.
Dude, Reginald Atatula right now in the loop is screaming at the radio.
He's punching his radio.
I am expecting the group text to come any minute now about how dare we not know what a friendly is. But
I'm always good raw dog in the drive.
Sorry, Rich. You ain't going to be able to raw dog this friendly.
I ain't going to lie. I don't have
whatever the hell that means.
Do you know what a friendly is?
I know that we friendly.
Yeah, there you go.
I know that we good.
I know damn straight. Tyler, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm good with T. Mill. I'm good with Sean Bajani.
Is friendly.
Yeah, man.
Okay. This is why I just can't with soccer, bro.
It looks like everybody's having a great time, though, right? Like that sound that Tyler's back there making, it feels like a good time.
It is a good time.
It'd be good for us to commit some of the terms to memory. Bad job by us.
Till they start riding and the field's on fire and stuff.
So from from Team USA friendlies against continents in a far, far away portion of the earth to meaningless preseason basketball, I do have the starting lineup for you tonight. The Rockets are doing the double big thing, according to Daniel Lerner, who's in New Orleans covering the team tonight for the Chronicle. Amen Thompson, Kevin Durant, Jabari Smith, Alperen Şengün, and Steven Adams, your starting five for the Houston Rockets.
I'm good with it. I like me some double big. Let's go.
Yeah, well, here's the only thing I want to see. I want to see more of what I saw the last time the Rockets played. Kevin Durant starting tonight. I want to see him, get 10, 12 minutes in the first half, sit, and then come back up. Do that up-down thing, get you about 5-7 minutes in the third quarter, and call it a night, big fella. Go ice your knees and get ready for the regular season.
I think this is also a good opportunity for, at least from a fan standpoint, for people who are intrigued by the double big lineup as perhaps being something that they consider as their starting lineup going forward. Like, you'll get a look at it and see what that looks like. And maybe even for the Rockets themselves, when you talk about a self-scout, the double big was something that they found during the season, late in the season. Yeah. And I don't think it's something that they anticipated being a part of their identity, and by the time we got to the end of the playoffs, it certainly was. And so let's see if they, by experimenting with this early, if they find something early on that they are able to latch onto.
Matchup by matchup basis, I would choose that versus like, hey, this is who we are, this is what we're rolling out with, you know, for as much of 82 as we possibly can. Number one thing I'll be looking at is, let's look at Amen Thompson. You came on with us the last time the Rockets played, and you were talking about like some positives, negatives from Amen Thompson, you know, running the point and things like that. And you were a little bit uncomfortable with his handle the last time out. Right?
Yeah, and it's nitpicky because, of course, they won the game and Kevin Durant was amazing. And Amen Thompson, to his credit,
was
overall amazing. Yep. Like he was impacted in a very Amen Thompson kind of way, was all over the stat sheet, was all over the court, right? Like offensively, defensively, he was getting to the rim. He had a corner three. That's another thing I want to see more of, not just from Amen Thompson, but from the Rockets in general. And they've talked about this, wanting to take more advantage of the corner three. They got a perfect candidate for that in Jabari Smith Jr. As a way to utilize him. But if there was one thing about Amen Thompson's game that I do want to see tighten up, given how much they're going to rely on him, how much he's going to have the basketball in his hand, mm-hmm. how much decision-making he's going to be doing, it's to tighten up that handle just a little bit. Now, he only had one turnover in that game that we're talking about.
Yeah.
He had four in the preseason opener.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times when I would say both his ball handling and then the team overall, their passing was a little bit lackadaisical, which you could attribute to the preseason, just as you could attribute their overall team defense being a bit lackadaisical. You could attribute that to the preseason and them just kind of getting their feet wet and getting their legs under them and all of that kind of stuff. But I do want to see some of that tighten up before, by the time we watch them debut against the Oklahoma City Thunder a week from now.
Yeah, well, you got a preseason game tonight and then one more in a couple of days, and then it's game on. 1 week from tonight, regular season begins. By the way, you mentioned preseason. According to a texter from the 346, a friendly in soccer is basically a preseason game. It's just to get live experience. That was from Axe. Appreciate you, Axe.
I knew that.
All right. Well, I learned something today. Yeah. So there's that. Oh, also, shout out to Nick Casario. Not just a friend of Payne and Pendergast, who comes on pretty regularly with those guys and sometimes even in studio. But he texts the drive, I think, during the break, you know, in reference to our Texan conversation last segment and, you know, what lies ahead of them for the Texans in their path to the playoffs. He says, dude, our focus is on Seattle now, period. I have to believe that's got to be from Nick.
I mean, excuse us for daring to have a conversation.
I mean, it's either Nick, Cal, or Hannah.
You guys, it's 6:10 to talk about on the radio.
Pendergast and Payne. So appreciate you, Nick, for listening, man. Or Cal or Hannah, thank you very, very much. All right, time now for T-Mill's Best Bets. T-Mill, you got a little soccer action tonight? You got some friendly action for us?
Or, hell no.
How you rolling?
I do not know much about two of the sports, and that would be the old soccer and the old ice hockey. Won't ever be guiding you to bets there. But I do have four more best bets for you tonight on a Tuesday in this NLCS game tonight between the Dodgers and Brewers. And we're 15 for our last 16. I'm not even going to hoop and holler about it. I'm just kicking ass, and if you want money in your pocket, you need to tell these picks. Here are your four best bets, NLCS action tonight. Dodgers and Brewers in Milwaukee. First bet, I'm on the over in the first five innings. Over 3.5 runs, I believe, will be scored in the first five innings of this game tonight.
Ooh.
Next, same number, different bet. I'm on over 3.5 runs, but just for the Brewers squad, just for the Milwaukee Brewers tonight with the bats in their hands, over 3.5 runs for Milwaukee against the Dodgers tonight. Then I got the Brewers plus one. They are not favored in this matchup. I got plus one at great odds, minus 130. And then lastly, your fourth best bet is a player prop. It is the guy starting on the mound for the Milwaukee Brewers, Freddy Peralta. I'm on over 14.5 pitching outs for him tonight. He's got to get 15 outs, and that puts money in your pocket. And if it goes like it's been going with these best bets, that's going to happen. So those are your four best bets, boys. Do you love any of them?
I do not love the over 3.5 in the first five innings. I do not love the over 3.5 for the Brewers alone.
Yeah, I'm with you on those. I don't.
Well,
here's the reason why.
Damn it.
Peralta's out sounds pretty good, but the other two are
Yoshinobu Yamamoto for the Dodgers. He's given up a total of 3 earned runs his last 4 outings.
Which is why tonight he will give up more.
Prior to that, he gave up 1 earned run in 7 innings, 1 earned run in 8 2/3, 1 earned run in 7 innings, 2 earned runs in 6 innings, 3 earned runs in 7 innings. That's a...
Law of averages, son.
I'm just saying, that's a bold...
And some other research I've done that's secret, but... If you don't want the money, Bajani, that's fun. That's fun.
If we want the secret, call 1-888.
Hey, look, I'm
T-Mills Best Bets.
I'm rooting for 1-888 T-Mills Best Bets. I'm rooting for everybody that tags along on T-Mills Best Bets. I'm rooting for all of your pocketbooks, man. I truly am. And I'm rooting against the Dodgers in all ways.
Hell yeah.
But I do see this being a little bit similar to the game that we just watched previously, being a little bit of a struggle in terms of run production. So, yeah. I mean, but between,
I won a lot of money on that game, too.
Between Yamamoto and Peralta, those are two really good pitchers out there for both the Dodgers and the Brewers. So, I got a tough time seeing that one, but I'll be rooting the whole way.
Let's see what happens.
I like your Brewers plus one. I like your Brewers plus one.
Yeah, I even thought about 1.5, but I didn't like the odds. They were too much in the wrong direction.
You've got Peralta with 15 outs, so basically going 5. Is that right?
You
got
That would be getting through 5 complete innings. Yeah.
Yeah, that to me is the safest bet. The other two are pretty bold though. That's T-Mill putting them on the table, baby.
When he's hot, he's hot. Sometimes you feel it in the Nuggets, and T-Mill's feeling it in the Nuggets tonight.
If you're me, you're feeling your Nuggets every day.
Hey,
let's go.
All right. I will not be here tomorrow during this time slot, but you, sir, will be, I believe.
Tomorrow?
Is that Wednesday? So. Yeah.
I don't think so, actually.
Tomorrow is young Luke, I think.
Luke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Definitely Luke. Luke holding it down.
Now you're
been
doing,
been
you're
holding
Thursday.
Down the morning show, too, so been doing a great job. I'm back Thursday.
Yeah. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Tomorrow, do I work? Yeah, I think so.
Just listen to the damn show, people. Listen to the damn show.
It's more for
show.
Me than it is for you. I'm trying to get my schedule straight.
The Drive. Start off with Pain and Pendergast. Listen to In the Loop. Check out The Drive. Check out Area 45. Texans All Access. All of that, man.
We will have the great Cecil Shorts with us tomorrow at 2:40 p.m. right here on this program.
Let's go. Listen to soccer tonight. Miss it. All right. Have a great night, everybody. Oh, it's a catch. No, it's not a catch. And then the throw. He's safe. No, he's out. But
talking to the media nerd
well,
over
somebody
here.
Somebody stop that man.
The one thing I like as much as sports.
I wanted to talk Rockets, but we could do that a little bit later on.
And the cat is elusive, kind of like Barkley and Elliott, but he didn't know where to go. Look, they're trying to corner him, and they got him in the end zone. There are state troopers all around this cat, which now climbs up into the stands.
The guy is drunk.
Thank you, Tyler Milner.